Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you. My name is Chris Steiger. I'm one of the pastors here at Rose Drive. I serve as the pastor of operations and congregational care, which means I oversee everything related to money and to our facilities. And like the congregational care part, you really don't want to see me because that means probably you're in the hospital or there's a family funeral or something like that. I have been on staff here at Rose Drive since 1999, which sounds like a long time to me. Married to my wife, Karen. We've been married 37 years this last summer. We have three boys, we have three daughters-in-law, and we have three grandchildren. And yes, I'd be delighted to show you pictures of my grandchildren after the service. So I recently had the opportunity to travel to Cambodia to visit this team of missionaries that serves there, that serves you, that serves us in Cambodia. They are a great team. Elise Patey, she was with us last spring for our missions conference, right before she went to Cambodia. And she's just been in Cambodia about 6 months, and she is faithfully studying the Khmer language and is learning to tell people about Jesus. Robert and Sarah Radcliffe celebrated their first anniversary of living in Cambodia while I was there. And they are continuing to learn the language so that they can tell more and more people about God's love for them. And by the way, I'm told that it takes 7 years to be fully conversant and functional in the Khmer language. And so they're just a year into that process. Fede and Diane Hernandez, with Elise Patey, sit in the middle of their family there, have been there 6 years with their three kids, Timothy, Abigail, and Nathan. And Scott and Andrea Sword, that many of us know and have met, have been there about 7 years with their two boys, not the whole time, but Zachary and Samuel. These missionaries serve through our local denomination, Evangelical Friends Church Southwest, and they have left their homes and their families here in America, mostly here from Southern California, to go tell the people of Cambodia that Jesus loves them. They are there to shine the light of God's love on a spiritually dark country. I'm going to share a little bit more about the trip in a few minutes, but first I want to just share a little bit about my story. I was born in Portland, Oregon in 1954. Yes, if you're doing math quickly, that's 63 years ago. And we lived in a very small town outside of Portland for a number of years until I went to high school. Very early on, I was in church. As a matter of fact, my parents told me that they had me in church before I was even a week old. And I don't remember that, but I do remember that for many, many years, every Sunday morning, we would pile our whole family into our 1957 Chevy station wagon, which I wish I still had, and off to church we would go. And we went Sunday morning, we went back again Sunday night, and many times, at least once or twice during the week, we would drive off to church. And it was about a 30-minute drive as I was growing up. So very early on in my life, I was exposed to the Bible and spiritual things. Now, I think it's possible when you grow up in a setting like that, I had Christian family and regular exposure to religious and Christian values, that sometimes it's more difficult for God to actually get your attention. I mean, after all, I grew up in America. I lived in a home with a Christian family. We went to church every Sunday. It just didn't seem possible to me that there could be anything wrong with my life. And I was actually in the third grade, and we were attending yet another church function. It was the summer vacation Bible school program like we run here for our kids. And the speaker for the week was a missionary. And I remember her saying to us kids that just because you grew up in a Christian family doesn't mean you're a Christian. Well, that was a new thought to me. I hadn't really considered that before. I've been in church every Sunday of my life, and now someone was telling me I might not be a Christian. And so I sat up and I listened as she said that we're all sinful, and because of that, we're separated from God. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:12 describes our condition when he says, "At that time, you were separated from Christ without hope and without God in the world." And even as a third grader, I understood that was the condition of my life. And the things that missionary said to me made sense. That was a long time ago. And I asked God to forgive my sin And I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and I was 10 years old. In my fourth grade year, I had a Sunday school teacher tell me that I was going to be a preacher someday, and I told her that she was wrong, and I did everything for the next, 20 years to prove her wrong. And the story between then and now is a long story that I won't get into, but here I am. Someone told me about Jesus, and it changed the course of my life. So I want to ask you a question that many people ask when we begin to talk about missions. Why do we send missionaries to other parts of the world? I mean, why should I give to support missions and missions, missionaries and missions work through our Missions Faith Promise Giving here at Rose Drive? Why should I consider going as a missionary? I mean, it's not like we don't have problems here of our own in our own country. I mean, all you had to do in recent weeks is watch the news. And, we got the floods and we got the hurricanes and we got the fires and we got tragic shootings around the country. So why send missionaries to other parts of the world? In Matthew 5, Jesus said these words, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You and I are the light of the world. That includes Placentia, it includes Brea, it includes Chino Hills, it includes Yorba Linda, it includes California, the United States, and other parts of the world. Light is a major theme throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, in Genesis 1, we're told that God created the heaven and the earth, and the writer of Genesis says, "And darkness covered everything." And then the first recorded words we have in the Bible, spoken by God, are, "Let there be light." And then that theme continues on throughout the scriptures. In the New Testament alone, there are over 100 references to light, most of them having some sort of spiritual connotation to them. Simply put, we send missionaries to other parts of the world to share the light of God with people in countries that they go to. And the way that we do that here, the way we send, is through our Faith Promise Missions Giving. I want to tell you about one of the countries, the primary countries that we here at Rose Drive send missionaries to through that Faith Promise Giving. I recently went with a team of pastors and denominational mission board members on a trip to Cambodia. This map shows the route that we flew. We left out of Los Angeles, and it took almost 17 hours of flight time to get to Phnom Penh, where we landed. Add to that layover time of about 4 hours into Taipei Airport, crossing an international date line, and you travel for about 24 hours straight. And when we arrived, I was tired, to say the least. The country of Cambodia is a small country that is surrounded on the north by Thailand and the northeast by Laos and Vietnam, down the west side, or east side, and across the bottom. Because our mission work there is such a wide scope, while we were there, we pretty much traveled from one end of the country up to the top and then back down again, back down to the bottom. Lots and lots of miles, which made for some interesting times. We think our traffic here is bad. Just a little clip here, it's only about 15 seconds long of the traffic in Phnom Penh. That's actually a pretty calm setting there. The motos are just like crazy. Everybody rides the motos. And it's insane traffic. You know how a lot of countries have roundabouts where like multiple intersections will come in, or the streets will come in an intersection, and they got this concrete structure that kind of flows traffic through the center of the intersection? Well, Cambodia doesn't have that. They have the same situation, but they don't have the structure in the middle. So imagine five or six lanes of traffic all coming into the intersection at the same time, and everybody's trying to go all at one time. Even outside the city, it's crazy. They have traffic lanes and stoplights and stop signs, and none of them mean anything. I think it's true. We were on this two-lane road traveling down to the south part of the country, and I there were four cars going side by side, two coming at us and two going the other way on this two-lane road, and I just kind of closed my eyes, and we made it through just fine. I asked the missionary, I said, who has the right-of-way? And his response was a little bit disarming. He said, well, pretty much the person with the oldest car, because they don't care. Right. We got to see some pretty neat things while we were there. This is a picture of a temple that we visited. You can see it's kind of, it's kind of run down and it's overgrown by trees. This temple is called Toprom, which means grandfather protector, and it was built almost 2,000 years ago by a king. And by the way, if you happen to see the movie Tomb Raider, this is the temple that movie was filmed in. The next picture is one of me out in front of probably one of the most famous temples, Angkor Wat. And this temple had a lot of carvings, and actually everywhere inside had these really intricate carvings that basically showed the detail of the king's exploits. I think the next picture shows the king up on the horse and his soldiers marching in front of him there. The temples were partly the effort of the kings, partly their attempt to reach up to God. Oh, and there were some fun things as well. Little video clip of a monkey at Angkor Wat who was interested in our water bottle. It's a little bit longer video clip because you got to see the whole thing. He unscrewed the cap, I don't know if you saw that, and he chugs the water bottle like he's never done that before. He knew exactly what to do, right? Come on, buddies, drink it down. You got to wait for the ending. And a little shake, drops the bottle, a little shake, and then turns and sticks his tongue out at us. That was fun, right? So the country of Cambodia has about 16 million people living in it versus 230 million in the United States, something like that. And let's just say that this picture here represents 16 million people. There are 16 little men on this screen, each one of them, I guess, could represent a million people. In the country of Cambodia, of all the people that live there, there's only a small portion of the population that even say they believe in Jesus, about 2%. And so this next picture, the little man that's colored partially in red might represent the percentage of the population of Cambodia that says they believe in Jesus. Let me see if I can illustrate this another way. If you're able, would you stand with me for just a second? Everybody stand up, if you're able. Okay? Now, I would like everybody except the four of you sitting right here to sit down. That represents the percentage of the population in Cambodia that say they believe in Jesus. You can sit down now. When I shared that with the Friends Christian Elementary School, the students went, they got it right away. They understood that there's a whole bunch of the population that does not believe in Jesus. So yes, the need is great here, but I believe it's greater in Cambodia and other countries that we send missionaries to. As a matter of fact, two other countries that we send missionaries to, Nepal and Bhutan, have the same percentage of the population that say they are believers in Jesus. We drove into one village to visit a church, and we drove through this rice paddy, and I don't know if you can see over on the left-hand side of the picture there, there's a little dirt road. It had rained, and so the dirt road really was a little mud road, and we pretty much had to access it, this village and the church via a four-wheel drive vehicle. Very remote. This is their little church building that is literally plopped down right in the middle of a rice field in the village of Sway Rang. It's about 3 kilometers from the Vietnamese border. We had a spirited time of worship there, and looking at this picture again this morning just brought back some really great memories. It was a great time of worship, although, I don't know if you can tell, but the windows are all open. And actually there wasn't any glass in them, they just were opened outside, and they were cooking our dinner right outside one of the windows, and smoke was constantly filling the room and kind of choking us poor Americans as we worship. I met this little boy at that village down by Sway Rang, and he was such a happy little boy, and the thing is that missionaries went into his village and told the people of the village about Jesus, and as a result, this little boy got to hear about God's love for him. We visited another village where these three young gals who are cousins lived, and we were in the home of their grandpa and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, who are Buddhists. And the missionaries told us that these three girls literally are the only Christians living in their village. The missionaries went and told them about Jesus, but their friends and their moms and dads, their grandpas and grandmas don't know Jesus yet. I mean, can you imagine that situation for you? If really nobody that you knew about Jesus, someone needs to go tell them that Jesus loves them. This man was a grandpa, though. The word for grandpa in Khmer is toprom, and so I wear that name proudly as well. We met him way up on the north side of the country in an area called Muang, and this man told me that he is not a Christian. We visited a little house church where it literally was a lady and her husband and their son, three young children from the village, and this man. And he told us that he's interested in learning more about Jesus. And so our missionaries are going and they're spending time with this grandpa, telling him that Jesus loves him. I mean, how awesome is that? Jesus said this, "Go make disciples of all the nations." And so through our Faith Promise Missions Giving, we send missionaries to Cambodia and to other countries to tell people about Jesus and to be the light of the world that Jesus says we should be. The last day that we were there, we got to go to a school. It's not a Christian school like Friends Christian School that meets here. The kids were so cute. But get this. The directors of this school have invited our missionaries to come in and teach English using the Bible. And so they go in, right? Wow. And so they go in and they tell them Bible stories. And the day that we were there, they were telling the story of the Good Samaritan and about God's love for them. And this little gal, she sat there intently, just enthralled with the story. That was such a powerful moment for me. Our missionaries believe that they are the light of the world, and they're working to spread the light of God's love in a very dark country. So from 1984 to 1992, I was the pastor of a small friend's church in Tucson. And it was an interesting experience living in the desert, one that I'm glad to have had. Reminded me a lot of the weather this last week. One that I much prefer a day like this to what is often the case in Tucson. About 1 hour south of Tucson is the town of Bisbee, Arizona. Bisbee is south of Tombstone, which I always thought those two towns were fictional until I lived there and realized that they weren't. They have an important part of our country's history, and I didn't even know they were real places. The town of Bisbee is best known for two things. Brewery Gulch, which was known for its saloons and gambling and drinking and fighting and the red light district, and the Copper Queen Mine. The Copper Queen was the second largest producing copper mine in the country by 1905, producing something like 90% of the copper used in our country. That sounded kind of cool, so our family made a visit there to the mine with when our boys were young. And it was a cool experience. They give you this little yellow rain slicker and give you a little helmet with a light on the front of it, and you get on a mine train that literally looks like the Calico Mine ride over at Knott's Berry Farm. And you go down several hundred feet into this mine, into a huge cavern. As a matter of fact, you're so far underground that even in the heat of summer, year-round, the temperature is a constant 47 degrees. And once down inside this huge cavern, everyone is gathered together into a circle, and you're kind of standing there around the mine train, and they begin to tell about the mining. And during the peak production years, what would happen is every morning, each miner was given 4 one-hour candles. And they would go down into the mine with these candles, and they would literally work by candlelight, dig heavy-duty machinery for 4 hours until their last candle was about to burn out, and then they get on the mine train, ride back up, and take a lunch break, and then go back down for at least another 4 hours. And as the guide is telling the miner about the miner's day, he tells us all to turn off the little light on our helmet. And what you experience as your eyes begin to adjust to the darkness is the most absolute darkness you can possibly imagine. You couldn't even see your hand directly in front of your face. And it takes several minutes for your eyes to begin to adjust to the darkness. And so the guide, as he continues to talk, takes out a single candle and lights a single candle. And it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen, as this entire cabin came to life with light. Someone here could probably give us a definition of darkness: metaphysical, spiritual, physical, actual darkness. But maybe the simplest definition comes out of Webster's Dictionary, where he says darkness is an absence of light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." We are the ones that Jesus has asked to be the light in a dark world around us. A part of our mission statement says that we are being formed in Christ for the sake of others. We could say that we're being formed in Christ for the sake of the dark world around us. God has placed us in this world to be a light. But there's something else that Jesus said about light. In John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How can it be that both things are true? That Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," and that he's the light of the world? Just another story about light. When I was a child, every year my parents would give us kids a flashlight. There were three boys in our family. What boy doesn't, little boy doesn't love a flashlight? And I loved getting a flashlight. It's a tradition I have continued with my own boys, my own, and now my grandkids. This is not the flashlight I used to get. It's much better. As a child, I was fascinated by the fact that I could use my flashlight. Boy, it got dark. Maybe not quite that dark. I got to see. I could use my flashlight and shine it around the room and bring light into dark places. I'd go into a room and I'd literally turn off the lights, and I'd shine it in a dark corner. And if that wasn't quite dark enough, you know, I would climb in bed and pull the covers up over the top of my head and turn on the light again. And you know, I didn't like darkness when I was a kid. But the flashlight, that brought some light. Flashlights are pretty simple. This one has, I think, two or three AA batteries inside of it. So there's batteries that provide some power. There's a bulb, and then there's a little thing like a mirror-like thing that's a reflector. And the purpose of the reflector is it bounces the light outward. And I've come to see over the years that it's more than just a child's game, but it's a picture of what you and I might do with our lives. I understand that I am not the light, nor am I the source of light. God is the source of light. He's the source of truth. He's the source of understanding. But his light will only shine in dark places if I reflect it. While I was in Cambodia, this is what I observed of our missionaries, that they are reflecting the light of God's love into dark places. But I also felt like God was saying to me, "Chris, where are you reflecting the light of my love? Where am I reflecting the light of God's love in the dark places around me?" Yes, I am committed. We are committed to helping, sending, and supporting missionaries, but that's not enough. It needs to be personal. I can reflect the light of God's love into the dark places of my world, into the black holes in the hearts of men, and change maybe some by the things that the way I live my life and the things I do and the things that I say. I can make a difference in my neighborhood, where I work, where I go to school, and perhaps as I do that, others will see and do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of my life. This is my purpose, is to shine the light of Christ in a dark world. You are the light of the world. And we can reflect God's light and his love by giving, by praying, and maybe some of you need to consider going. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So, let there be light.
There's no darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty. God of mercy. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in your grace, God of mercy, God Almighty. Let there be light, open the eyes of the blind, purify our hearts in your fire, breathe in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. There's no taking back the cross. No regretting what it cost. God of freedom. God of heaven. Yeah. Then there be
over you.
Let the light that shines in become the light that shines in us. There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way.
God's people said, amen. You can be seated.